la 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 la. So, you'll notice that our singing brought in people. I could give the greatest lecture on earth. I can't, but even if I could, I wouldn't get people coming in like our singing did. And that is an excellent lead-in to our subject tonight, which is anger and marriage. We have to notice that just like song moves us like nothing else does, our emotions, our feelings, our neshama is moved. By the same token, our communication with our spouse, our children, our fellow men, our communication is far more powerful when it comes to the tone of what we're saying, when it comes to the emotions that we emit. Those are far more powerful than the words we actually say. Now, I was once passing by a couple. One of the spouses went out to buy ice cream for the couple and comes back and brings it to the park bench. And the other one looks at the ice cream and says, "You did what? You bought vanilla ice cream?" Now, you'll notice the examples on the piece of paper. As they move on, you suddenly understand the emotion a little bit more. So, you look at the guy who, or the girl, whose spouse just bought vanilla ice cream, you say, "Wait a second, buddy, or gal, is this worth getting upset over? Over this, you're going to make an issue?" But pause and ask yourself, how many times were you in a similar situation with your parents or siblings, and suddenly you behaved like a 3-year-old? It's amazing how when people re-enter their family situations, suddenly they're with their spouses and you'd think they were teenagers or less, sitting around the table. One could be CEO. I was once present when two wealthy businessmen who are brothers got together, and you should see the two squabble. You think that the people are managing each one has, I don't know, tens, if not hundreds of people under them, that they'd outgrow this. No, somehow when it comes to our personal relationships, so there our ego is more at play and our emotions flare. And just like when we're dealing with our brother or our sister or our parents, suddenly, no, it's not fair. Suddenly, we find ourselves with our emotions raging. With our spouses, things evolve in the same way. And whereas when we read this today, we look at it and we say, who, what kind of imbecile would make an issue over vanilla ice cream, over chocolate ice cream? I can share with you a story about a couple that in their first Shabbos, she burnt the kugel, and he takes a bite, and it's salty and burnt. and he puts it down, and she's looking at him, and he says, well, I'm sure next week it'll be better. And ask yourselves, how easy is it to make such a mistake? It's much easier to sit here in the classroom and look at the guy and say, what's the big deal? One piece of kugel, you couldn't swallow it? Come on. So you couldn't just swallow it and say, thank you, it was yummy?
Not everybody went to the phone there and had to deal with
it. But that's a small example. We will evolve. The next example, a spouse comes home, and the car has been stolen. And the other spouse says, you left the car on, you left the motor running in a public parking lot. I can tell you a true story. I was once in a taxi, and the driver tells me, I was supposed to be on vacation now. I wasn't even supposed to be in this country. But my wife took our tickets and all the money that we had saved up to go fly. And she went to just get the boarding pass, and she took a taxi, and she left her purse in the taxi with all our money and our tickets and our passports, and went in to get the boarding pass. And when she came back, no taxi. No taxi, no purse, no money, no vacation. So he's telling me, could you imagine how I yelled at her? 3 days straight, I'm telling you, boy, did I give it to her. I'm thinking, buddy, wait a second. She also wanted that vacation. She didn't do it on purpose. We all make mistakes. So it's very easy for us who didn't lose our savings 2 years. This taxi driver has probably been saving up to go on that vacation. And now his wife did something, which I'm not saying it wasn't foolish, but we all do foolish things. We all could have made that mistake. Spouse comes home, has a funny looking haircut, says, you know, I went to a new barber. Best barber in town's got the greatest reputation. And the spouse at home looks and says, you paid how much for that? Now let's stop for a second. I'm purposely not saying who's the guy and who's the girl. Let's paint the picture that it's a wife that comes home, and you can't stand vanilla ice cream, and she just bought this 2-gallon tub that's going to fill the freezer all summer long with vanilla ice cream. You can imagine that you're not exactly going to have the greatest smile on your face for that vanilla ice cream. You just took out a loan to buy a car, and she left that car running in the parking lot, and that car was stolen. And you haven't yet gotten insurance on the car. And you look at her and say, you left the car running in a public parking lot? I'm going to be taking 3 buses a day to work now? And imagine you come home with that haircut, and you just spent $150, and you think you're looking like $1 million. And she looks at you and says, oh. You paid for that? You paid? Honey, okay, next time you leave the wallet with me. So, let's reverse the roles. You bought the vanilla ice cream. And you walk into the house, and suddenly you remember, shucks, she doesn't like vanilla ice cream. And before you can say something, she looks at you and says, you bought vanilla ice cream? You bought a whole tub of vanilla ice cream? It's going to last all summer long? You don't care about me, do you? You only think about yourself. How do you feel now? Compare what you thought a minute ago, when she was the one who bought the vanilla ice cream, to what you're thinking now. Let's say you're the one that left the motor running with the car in the parking lot that you just used your savings for. That she desperately wanted to go on vacation, and you said, no, no, honey, car is going to suit us much better. And she finally agreed, and you bought that car, and she said, let's spend less, and you said, no, I'm telling you, when I go to the bank, when I go to meetings, everyone looks at what car I'm driving. And finally she agreed, you'd take a loan, you'd skimp here, you'd skimp there, you'd buy that car, and you walk through the door, and you feel like 2 cents, and you're the one that left the motor running, and now there's no car. And she looks at you and says, you look, you got run over by a Mack truck. What happened? And you say, believe me, you don't want to know. And she says, that sounds like I do want to know. And then you say, well, it's complicated. I was dealing with a million things. And I just ran into the bank to the ATM machine for just 1 second. And I had my eye on that car. And then there was this big guy. I didn't see him, but I'm telling you, he was big. He had a gun. I didn't see him, but I'm telling you, it wouldn't have made any difference whether I would have left it running or not. The guy, well, to make a long story short, there's no more car. And she looks at you and says, you're joking, right? And you say, no, I'm not joking. You call yourself responsible? You want to run the bank accounts in this house? This is what you call responsibility? We all know that we could be on either side of the coin. We could be the one whose wife comes home and tells us that she did it. And then we could look at her and think, she's not worth 2 cents. She just cost $30,000. And we could be the one who walks through the door and feels like 2 cents. And when we look at our spouse, what are we expecting? Meaning, imagine our spouse responds to us the way we respond to them. Think for a second, what's going to be your answer? What are you going to say? You're going to say, honey, I didn't do it on purpose. You make mistakes too. I felt terrible when I walked through that door. I expect when I come home, you're not going to bash me over the head. I know what I did was stupid. I feel like 2 cents before you tell me I'm 2 cents or less. Do you think your job as a spouse is to tell me you're not even worth 2 cents? Or do you think your job as a spouse is to stand by my side and make me feel better? Now, let's play that back when we're the husband and it's our wife who did it. Very often we have a very easy time having expectations from someone, but we don't live up to our own expectations. Chazal tell us, Oy lanu miyom adin, oy lanu miyom atochecha. Woe to us from the day of judgment, woe to us from the day of proof, because when judgment day comes, God will just compare our actions to ourselves. Our shame is going to be when God says, just compare yourself to yourself. How were you when it came to you who made the mistake? How did you behave when it was someone else who made the mistake? We haven't yet touched upon anger. I want us first to see how biased we are, how easy it is for us to look at someone else and have expectations, because part of anger stems from the fact that we allow ourselves to have expectations. We feel we are entitled. And in truth, we have to ask ourselves, am I entitled? Don't I make mistakes? Don't I make stupid mistakes? Don't I waste money? Don't I do things without consulting with my spouse when I know I really should? And now we're going to move on to examples that seem more obviously pertaining to one another. But first we'll take a question. Yeah. I didn't follow what.
The little Heckscher in American products OU.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I just want to say something my buddy said once. It's kind of funny. This might be funny. He was like, the thin lie to a woman's heart is punishment and abuse.
The thin what?
There's a thin line to a woman's heart and it's punishment and abuse.
ברוך אתה אדוני אלוהינו מלך העולם שהכל נהיה בדברו. The Gemara tells us that one who marries off their daughter to an Am Haaretz, it's like marrying her off to a lion. That the ways of Namaratzim in Chazal's time, a person who wasn't learned, was that they'd abuse their wives. The Gemara looks at it scornfully. The Gemara says they're uneducated, and the last thing you want to do is marry your daughter to that. Or so I don't know, there's one thing which I have a very hard time joking about, and that's abuse.
I'm sorry.
I think, no, because I think it's very, unfortunately, it's very real, and it's not like the Jewish community is immune to it. No, we should be immune to it. It's biblically prohibited. I mean, there's a wife is entitled to care and fair treatment like any other person. She's entitled to more than that. But just like we can't hit someone else, not allowed to hit our wives or abuse them in any other way. So that's why I don't know, I have a hard time. And I would recommend that people stay away from jokes about abuse. Not a good idea. And I'll tell you more than that. What?
I'm glad I raised that.
Okay, sorry. I can't find any humor in that. Sorry. It's just unfortunately too real. It's too real and too sad. And once we mention it, so I would just say one more thing. There's an unfortunate tendency that people who are abused do not call out for help. And anyone listening to this class should know that it's every person's responsibility to call out for help. It's not a joking matter, and it's not something to take lightly. Quite the contrary. But we have a class later on in the session that discusses physical confrontations between spouses. We will, Be'ez Hashem, deal with it later on in the session. It doesn't belong in a marriage, but there's what to discuss about it. Be'ez Hashem, later on. I just want to remind everyone present and everyone listening of one point which we made often, but I don't know if we made it in this round. Our classes are focused on the home, the Jewish home, and that means within marriage. You cannot take what we are discussing and use it in your dating. We're discussing what happens within marriage. Dating is a totally different parsha, and every few months we have a special few class series on dating, and if you guys want, we'll do that. We just finished one, so I don't see a point in doing another one now. But later on in the year, if you guys will want, we'll have a session again on dating. But everything we're discussing is about the home, because it is very, very important to get our perspectives on the home. Okay? Okay. Well, we'll get to that. Now we're going to move on in our sheet to the next example, which is a very sensitive one. You said what about me? Now let's take the example that the wife tells her family. Let's take an example. Yeah, my husband, if I could get him to shower once a month, oh, it's a blessing. And he looks at her and says, you said what? Or the wife says,
smells like me.
My husband, if he makes it to Minyan, one prayer on Shabbos, I'm happy. And he looks and says, you said that at the family reunion? And we could take the reverse example, that the wife looks at him and says, you know, they called me. I was talking to your secretary, and she said during lunch, you mentioned that I gained 15 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that hurts. Dun, 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 dun.
So, wait. I think you're blocking the camera. I'm sorry to disturb you. You could just move your chair over. So, obviously, we all make mistakes. And we shouldn't make mistakes, but when things happen, before we react, we have to stop and ask ourselves, why am I reacting? And we mentioned earlier that one of the reasons we react is because we feel legitimate, we feel entitled. Let's take the next example. You quit your job. And that's something that obviously pertains to both spouses. Imagine a husband coming home and telling his wife, I got fed up with my boss. I decided I'm quitting. And she says, and how are we paying the mortgage next month? Don't worry, I'll find another job. Don't you think we should have spoke about it? Like, maybe talk to me before you do a move that affects us both so much? Again, legitimate? Yeah, she's legitimate in being upset with him. But now she has a spouse who doesn't have a job. And he might not feel so positive about what he did. He might not be so happy about what he did. He might, yeah, be, he might not be. Let's take the next series of examples. You forgot to tell me your mother is coming tonight for the weekend, for the month, for the summer, moving in, selling her house and moving in.
I'm moving out.
You forgot to tell me you won't be coming home for supper? There's legitimacy. Again, we're going to discuss in a second whether legitimacy is what governs marriage. You forgot to tell me you lost $500 at the bowling alley? You forgot to tell me a kid fell off the bed? You forgot to tell me you spent your paycheck before you made it? You forgot to tell me you overdrafted our credit card? Now, these are things that happen within a marriage. No one's coming to legitimize them. I'm not telling you it's legitimate that one spouse does it to the other. The question is, when we're dealing with after the fact, what is a fair response? And here we're going to have to analyze a few aspects. Let's begin. Everyone will agree that our first example, you bought vanilla ice cream, that's no reason to get upset. Right? Everyone agrees. And let's say you told your spouse 15 times, I hate vanilla ice cream. I don't want you to buy vanilla ice cream. And then your spouse goes to the store and buys vanilla ice cream. What are you supposed to do? So every guy sitting in this class, when it's not him that it's happening to, will say, of course you're not supposed to get upset. Of course, right? What's the big deal? It's only this ice cream and that ice cream. Big deal. Right. But how many spouses will sit at a Shabbos table and get chulled that the spouse forgot to put meat, forgot to put salt, or something else, and will react? How many spouses will come to Shabbos and they don't have the thing that they wanted, and they will say something? Most. Most people don't bite their tongue. And their marriage is reflective of that. Now, let's stop and analyze what the next step is. Spouse comes home, and I'm purposely not discussing whether it was the husband or wife, and buys the wrong type of flavored ice cream. Spouse B responds and says, you bought vanilla ice cream? Okay, too bad, you're going to be eating all alone. What does spouse A feel? Spouse A might feel a little guilty, but spouse A also feels that spouse B is self-centered. Meaning, what spouse A feels is, the vanilla ice cream was worth more to you than my feelings. Now, it might not be put into words, but that's what the other one feels. And it doesn't matter if it's the husband or the wife. When that's the response, so a person feels, wait a second, okay, I made a mistake. But that means that it is more worthwhile to you to chastise me for what I did wrong than to accept it and for us to be together. Let's imagine you just met the girl of your dreams. And you're dying to get her to marry. And you go on a date, and then you have to hop to Dam Mincha. So she says, you know what? It's really hot. Why don't I get us both drinks? And you say, great. Anything but diet. I just can't stand the sugar in diet. Anything you get is fine, not a diet soda. You run to Davin Mincha, you come back, and there's Diet Coke sitting on your table. Now, you want to marry this girl.
I love that.
You look at it, and you think to yourself, didn't I say not diet? Okay, big deal. Right? That's what you think to yourself. And you think to yourself, should I exchange it? And then you say, nah, I could swallow it. Nothing too terrible. I don't like it, but it's not worth saying something over. I want her to like me, and I like her, so I'm not going to say anything. Now let's imagine you're married to her 3 years. So then it could sound something like this. Are you deaf, dumb, blind, all three? I don't understand. I told you I don't understand. You want me to write it down next time? What? Explain this to me. Why? Didn't I say it? What didn't you understand? What was unclear about what I said? What changed? What changed? What changed? Why? But why? Why is it that when you wanted to marry her, when then you said to yourself, big deal, and now you're married, you're 3 years into marriage, suddenly, one second, why should I put up with this?
Because after 3 years of marriage...
Let's go one at a time, yeah?
After 3 years of marriage, it's not running that easy away as after 1 week of dating.
No, here you want to get engaged to her.
Exactly. She's the girl.
Because she's not going to leave. You take her for granted. So you could hurt her feelings. That's
exactly,
the idea?
Yeah.
Okay,
you
yeah.
Lose,
you think you have nothing to lose. Okay, you guys are it's pretty vicious, but fine. Yeah? No, you might be right. I don't mean you're vicious. I mean your analysis of the person is vicious, and you might be right. Let's see. Yeah?
I think the general question is, what can we do now? Is there anything that we can do now to actually, like I said, about people so we don't lose it?
I think that identifying the problem is halfway to solving it. Yeah?
There should be precedence set early. Precedence made early in the marriage.
There should be?
Precedence. Like, this is how it is. If that communication is there, it's going to make your relationship a lot stronger. Like with the tooling, okay? There should be no reason that a man should ever gripe over what his wife put in front of him. And honestly, I would expect to have the tooling on.
The what? That,
like be wearing the tooling.
The tooling?
Like throw it on the guy and be like, there you go then, you know?
One
second. Like, that's not right.
Wait, we'll get there.
I grew up in a house where my dad and everybody cried about the meal, and it always bugged me, so I would never do that. And that kind of has a trend, too. Like, you see how your parents were, and you change.
We'll get to that. Wait, that's a separate class. We'll get to that, about parents. Yeah?
After 2 years, like, you talked about there's so many other issues involved. Like, it could be, well, you don't care about me, so upset about other things. It could be, like, you, your wife, criticized you yesterday, so now you're looking for something today. It could be, well, you feel the person has a pattern of responsibility. After 2 years, there's a lot more baggage than when you've been out the coffee 6 times.
Okay. Meaning she's gotten on your nerves. There's a cheshbon here, and by now...
It's like, okay, fine. Yesterday she made you feel bad. Well, now you're going to make it feel bad. Or, oh, maybe you feel like the person's not caring about you, so it's coming out of the vanilla ice cream.
There's just so many other dynamics. Exactly. It's like after
2 years, it gets very complicated.
Okay.
We'll
get to that. It's
a
good point. Yeah?
She also could accept it like in the date. She thinks, okay, that's how he likes his coffee, likes Diet Coke. And just forgets that you told her that you don't like it. And later on, like you say, like, you know what? I was trying regular Coke. It's actually much better. I think I'm going to switch to normal Coke. I don't like the Diet Coke anymore. And present it as a thing, because something new, which hasn't been before like that. But now she can change without that her feelings are hurt, and you still get what you want.
But maybe there's also a good explanation for it.
Like, one thing, let's go one time. Okay. We'll get back to you. Yeah.
I mean, isn't it easier, as long as you're not allergic to the food, to just suddenly...
Yeah, in theory. Somehow I don't see that happening.
You're allergic to vanilla. But, you know, if you're not allergic to vanilla, just inspire yourself in a moment's time to just love vanilla ice cream.
We'll get to that. Anyone else?
Yeah, another thing is, if ice cream and Coke is becoming an issue, I think it's time for sit down, because there's obviously something else wrong in the relationship. Because
okay.
you see that when it starts getting to the little things, there's something that you're not talking about with your spouse.
Okay. So I don't agree with that. I think that in marriage there are, like was pointed out earlier, there are a myriad of things in any given day. It could be that you asked your spouse to leave the car with a full tank of gas, and they never do. It could be that you ask your spouse, let me know if you're going to take out this sum of money so I know how we're going to cover rent and cover our cost at the end of the month, and they don't live up to what you asked them. It could be about serious things, could be about not serious things. But the thing that really changes from the beginning to later, I think the baggage is part of it. We'll get to it. But part of it is what they said, that to an extent, you have nothing to lose and you take what you have for granted. The greatest problem that we have within marriage is that we take it for granted. We take the marriage for granted. We take the fact that we have our spouse for granted. And that opens the doorway to all kinds of behaviors that when we sit here and listen about them, they sound very foreign to us. Would I ever get upset about vanilla ice cream? Someone just said, so you swallow vanilla ice cream your whole life, big deal. I don't see people doing that. I don't see people doing that about little things like vanilla ice cream. You ask the average couple, what are their squabbles about? And you listen to them and you think, guys, are you for real? Your squabbles are about whether you live in the north or the south. Is that really worth ruining a marriage over? You know how many couples are squabbling about things like that? About little things. When you think about the big picture. Yeah.
At least from a men's perspective, we don't constantly think about the fact of how awful it would be to grow old alone.
Oh, so men have this issue much more than women. It's true. Men take marriage for granted much more than women. Men also, part of their ego is that they think that they could get a woman at the drop of a hat. Every man deep down inside thinks, not her. There are 10 out there that would grab me. It's a common male ego issue. It's a problem. But that's at the root of the first part of the problem, and the reason why a person will allow himself to get angry is because we take it for granted. And we also feel entitled. We very often will focus on what's right and wrong. Very often we're going to say, what do you mean? You think it's legitimate to spend money like that without talking to me? You think it's legitimate to put us in overdraft without talking to me? We focus on what's right and wrong. And then we think, well, if I'm in the right, then that also means I'm in the right in getting upset. In the end, we will discuss that there are times that a person does have to express that they're upset. You can't live in marriage without expressing that you're upset by something. That is important. But there's a difference between being upset and being angry. There's a difference. And there's a difference between weighing what we say and how we say it and just letting loose, flying off the handle. So step one is we don't appreciate who we're standing opposite. And the first thing we have to think to ourselves is, this is the greatest person in the world. This is my partner in life. And even if within the marriage, there will be times when you don't feel like your spouse is the greatest person in the world. It's part of marriage. It's very common, especially in the beginning, that you don't really think that's the greatest person in the world. But that is your partner. And you're going to make it work with them. And I have a secret for you. It doesn't matter who you're going to marry. There are going to be times, and those times can be a day, a month, a year. There are times when couples don't feel like they got the greatest person in the world. It's part of marriage. Whoever you marry, you're going to feel that way. There will be times like this and times like that. But it's up to us, if we want the marriage to work, to invest our efforts in making it work and realize that this is our partner. So step one is, in truth, what we discussed last class, to realize this is our partner for life. Meaning there is no alternative. We have to make it work. That's one. Two, don't take it for granted. So if I'm not taking it for granted, then I can't just do what I want. Three, think about the real right and wrong. Meaning, people sometimes look at Olmert and they say, what a Russia, he does A and B and C. I'm not coming to say he's a tzaddik. But I can tell you that I don't have his Yetzer Hara. I don't have the desire to do the things he does, so I have to ask myself, before I judge him on a personal level, do I live up to my responsibilities? There are many things that I'm working on each day, and every day I look at night and I look over my notebook and I say, okay, I didn't succeed in this, and I didn't succeed in that, and I succeeded a little bit in this, and I didn't succeed in that. When I look over my day, personally, every day is filled with disappointments. I wish I would have succeeded in doing A, B, and C. Tomorrow I'll try harder. Tomorrow I'll try to live up to A, B, and C. But that's the way I am. I think that's the way most people are. We have our challenges. We make a little bit of headway. We take one step forward. The next day we take two steps back. We hope to take two steps forward. As we move forward in life, we try to move forward. But do we really conquer ourselves? Are we koveshet yitzreinu? Are we that gibor that stands up and conquers himself? Most of us aren't. So he has his challenge and I have my challenge. And my feeling is, don't be in a position of leadership if this is who you are. Don't lead the whole people down and take them down with you, okay? But on a personal level, אל תדון את חברך עד שתגיע למקומו. You can't judge your friend till you're in his shoes. And we're never in our friend's shoes. We're each composed differently. So when we look at our spouse, the third point is, when we feel we're in the right, what they did was wrong, let's ask ourselves, and how many times do we do what's wrong? Why are we judging them with this, the yardstick? This is right, this is wrong. Well, you're on the part that says wrong. So now, I'm going to tell you just how wrong you are. And let's say, when all said and done, we'll say, I never do something that endangers the kids. She let the kid go flying off the bed. She or he was tossing the kid in the air and missed, dropped the kid. The kid fell on his head. Now I have to run to the hospital. That come on, you crazy? You're tossing a kid? How many times did I tell him not to play with the kid? The kid isn't his football. No, he has to throw the kid in the air. And I tell him not to lift the kid, so he lifts the kid. I tell him don't. He picks him up and the fan whacks the kid in the head and now we're on our way to Mada. You know how many times that happens? Okay, so yeah.
Brain damage.
Thank God I'm not your child.
Okay, it happens. So each. I'll tell you two things. A, good thing I have a class of male participants. I haven't seen women do this, so it's probably a male phenomenon. There are three good reasons not to throw kids in there. Maybe four. Firstly, I'd say once or twice a year, I hear of instances where people don't catch the kid, where the kid falls. And everyone thinks it's not going to happen to them. But I have to tell you, I think every year for quite a number of years now, I hear of a few instances. How many couples do I come in contact with? I'm not making up these stories. These are real stories. I'm changing the stories to make them, to disguise them. But these are real stories. So firstly, as much as you think you're going to catch, there are people out there who don't, and you never know. Secondly, the doctors have discovered that by tossing a kid, you could actually move the brain within the head, which is damaging to a child. When children are little, it affects them. Thirdly, I can tell you that, again, this happens, that people pick the kid up, and they don't realize it, and there's a fan there, and the kid gets whacked in the head. I've seen this too. And fourthly, it's going to upset your wife or your parents or her parents. You don't have to upset people. There's no point. So those are four good reasons not to do it. It's going to make the kid happy. Okay, fine. It's going to make him happy. Okay, but back to our Binyan HaBayit. So we said one is not to take for granted. Two is to ask ourselves where we would be. Three is, right and wrong aren't the only factors. Am I so right? Don't I have things that I mess up on? Now let's say that you come to the conclusion, no, I don't do things like this. This was dead wrong. There's no room to accept this. So now, let's say at the end of the day you come to the conclusion, there's no way I should or would or could accept this. A guy calls me up, his wife is supposed to be in bed rest, and she's pregnant, and she's waltzing around the house endangering the baby. So now what's he supposed to do? She's endangering the kid. He's telling her, please stay in bed. She's waltzing around the house. So he asked me if I know where he could buy handcuffs. So I tell him, no, that's not the solution. But there can be instances where one is going to say, wait a second, that's dead wrong. And I don't think I would do that. And even if I would do that, I'd be dead wrong if I did that. So now we have to ask ourselves the question, well, what is going to be most conducive to resolving the issue? Imagine the guy comes home and blows a gut. He yells, he's upset, says, don't you know you're endangering the baby? Don't you know the doctor said? Don't you know what the dangers are? And he yells and he yells and he yells. Okay. Let's think for a second. She knew everything he said, right? She's not stupid. She heard what the doctor said. So he, when he's yelling, what's he doing? He's really venting his anger. Is he being conducive towards finding a solution? Probably not. There can be instances where a person does have to express anger. But they're rare. It's very rare that that's what's going to solve the situation. So a person has to ask himself, okay, what do I do now? And now I want to talk to you female a little bit. Okay, so now we're going to talk like I'm a woman. Okay, I'm joking. I just want to get some smiles. Okay, but seriously for a second. There's a very stark difference between men and women. By men, getting angry might get you somewhere. By men, saying that you mean it and explaining might get you somewhere. By women, it might and it might not. Number one, we have to know, every time you express criticism or anger, you're dividing. What is most critical to both spouses in a marriage is connecting. What we all want, what we yearn for in a marriage is to be accepted, to be connected, to feel loved, to feel connected. The second you walk into the house and you're upset, you've distanced yourself from the spouse. Now, what are your chances of getting somewhere if you're distant? Imagine if your spouse yelled at you. I told you 15 times, I don't want you to buy popsicle sticks. Don't waste our money on ice cream. What are you going to do next time? You'll buy the ice cream, throw the stick in the garbage before you walk into the house and, hi honey, how's everything? You're not going to say anything about the popsicle stick. Did she get what she wanted? No. What she get, that you're not going to bring home the evidence that you did what she didn't want. But she's not going to get what she wanted. How many wives yell at their husbands that they're smoking? They yell and they yell and they yell. What do their husbands do? They go drive away, buy their pack cigarettes, smoke their cigarettes, buy some gum, go wash out their mouth with mouthwash, buy all these perfumes and come home and make believe like nothing happened. So they're spending the family's money and they're doing exactly what she doesn't want. And did she get what she wanted? No. It goes both ways. So we have to ask ourselves, if I want to achieve something, what is the best way of getting there? Think for a minute. What would move you more?
Conversation, when it's not heated, because then that brings you rationality.
Conversation can work, but we began our class by discussing that emotion moves us more than intellect. Conversation is working through the mind. You can try that. It might work. It might not.
That's why when you're not emotional, there's not a heated agreement.
But there's a more powerful thing to use. There's a more powerful tool. There are two more powerful tools. Yeah?
Could you say to you, I know this sounds a bit like Dr. Phil, by the way. But like, if you say, like, you know, you own the problem, like, I have a problem with you doing this and this, yeah, you're not venting your anger, but you take, you know. You're
working with male language. You're talking male talk between men, that works, no problem.
Right.
This is my issue, this is what I want you to change, now please do it. Okay. It doesn't work with men that well either, but let's make believe. Yeah.
He's so nice to her that she looks for a way to repay it later.
Oh, so now we're talking in the right direction. If we want to move something, so what we're trying to do is convey the message, hey, let's work in this direction. So the first step would be to be close, to be warm. We're together. You're walking in with yelling, the first thing you said is, you're there, I'm here. I'm upset and you're there. I'm yelling at you. We're not together. And that's hurtful to the wife. Sometimes it'll get you what you wanted. More often than not, it won't. Think of yourself. If she yells at you for buying a popsicle stick, We're not covering rent. How dare you pay those 2 shekels for a popsicle stick? Come home, I'll make you popsicle sticks. We have lemon, I'll squeeze a lemon, I'll pour in water, I'll put in sugar, put in the freezer. I'll make you a popsicle stick for 30 cents. What do you have to spend 2 shekel for? How, she ain't going to get anywhere. We all know that. She could yell as much as she wants. The next time you're out there on a hot day, you might buy the popsicle stick, you might not, but the yelling is not what's going to change so much. If you'll buy one, you'll buy one and you won't tell her. That's the one thing she gained. She gained that you're in your own world. But are you really going to take those 2 shekels seriously? Hopefully you will. I'd like to think you're all going to respect your wife's wishes. But I have to be realistic, and chances are you won't. So then the key is to be together. And if we're together, then what I might want to do is, I might want to understand where she's coming from. And then the conversation is totally different. The conversation is not, the doctor said, and this is the situation, and this is what you're doing, and these are the repercussions, and I want you to understand how upset I am, and all day I'm walking around fretting from what you're doing, and I can't even be calm at work because I'm constantly thinking about what you're doing. That's not the conversation. The conversation is, we sit down for supper, we put on some nice music, I come home with some flowers, and then we sit down and we talk, and when things are warm, we start discussing, and I say, look, I know that you're going to be the mother of this child, and you're bringing up the child inside you. And I know that it is of utmost importance to you that the child be okay. And I know that we both heard what the doctor said, and I know it must be very difficult for you to live up to what the doctor is saying. So let's try and think together what we're succeeding at and what we're not succeeding at and how we can make it work. Now, you might be gritting your teeth and thinking, okay, I heard this in class. This isn't going to work, but I have no choice. If you're smart, you'll think for a second, do you really have a choice? Sometimes you feel like, well, I shouldn't be here. This isn't the situation I should be in. Come on. Does anyone normal endanger a baby? The answer is yes. Every couple has real issues like this that they have to contend with. No such thing as a couple that doesn't. And every couple has issues where both spouses look at the other one and say, he's nuts, she's nuts. Every couple has issues, those points where each one looks at the other one and says, this isn't normal, I shouldn't have to deal with this. I married a mature adult, there's no logical reason why I should have to deal with whatever it is. One girl tells me, he's still tied to his mother's apron. His mother says one word, and our marriage is on the rocks. He calls his mother to ask her what we should do for Shabbos. He calls his mother to ask her what A, B, C, D, where we should send our kids to school. Okay. Is this normal? There's no such thing as normal. What's normal is that every marriage has its real issues. And every one of us has our real faults and real issues that we have to contend with. But what's the line over here on the bottom? We all yearn to be accepted. I don't need you to love me for what I love myself. There are things that I feel good about myself. That's not where I need my spouse. What I need is for my spouse to love me for where I don't love myself, for my spouse to accept me with my weaknesses. That's what we all need, husbands and wife. So if we're going to work on it, we have to begin with understanding. We have to begin with, we both understand A, B, C, and D. Let's think together how we could get there. There is one more tool that is sometimes useful. It cannot be abused. And that is to talk, women talk again. And instead of coming like a man head on, boom, I'll just give you an example of what a woman would do. The guy comes home and he tosses a popsicle stick in the garbage. And she just told him for 2 weeks she doesn't want him spending money on popsicle sticks. And today again he came home and tossed a popsicle stick. So here's a classical female response. Honey, is everything okay? Sure. No problem. You seem upset. No, everything's okay. Here's your supper. Okay, you're upset. What's wrong? Nothing. Enjoy your supper. Aren't you going to eat with me? No, it's okay. I'm not hungry. Okay, you're upset. Tell me, what do you want? Nothing. Nothing at all. Why can't you just talk to me? Tell me, what do you want? What do you want from me? I don't want anything. Did I say I want something? Are you upset? Are you hurt? I'm a little bit hurt. Why are you hurt? Well, wouldn't you be hurt if your spouse spoke to you and asked you something for 2 weeks straight and you ignored it at the end of 2 weeks? Wouldn't you be hurt? That's why I'm hurt. And she walks into her room. Did she ever say you shouldn't have? You couldn't have? We agreed you wouldn't. Didn't I ask you? No. Was what she said more powerful or less powerful? Much more. Well, men can play that game too. It's not a game. It's real. Only instead of being angry, you're being hurt. And I'll tell you another advantage of doing it that way. And this all men will understand, and women won't like me for this one. If you walk home and you're angry, you know what's going to happen? She's going to hear you and be hurt. And you're going to spend the rest of the time trying to make her feel better. Because now she's hurt. You yelled at me. So I did something wrong. What'd you have to yell at me for? She's hurt. Very quickly, the focus is going to change from what you're upset about to the fact that she's hurt. If you walk home and you're hurt, then the focus is never going to be, you didn't hurt her, you're hurt. And you can maintain the focus on what needs to be dealt with. The second you walk into the house and you're upset at her, you've hurt her personally, and you will have to ameliorate. And not only do you stand a greater chance of losing what you feel needs to be gained, but you're also going to switch focus from what you think you should focus on. At the end of the day, you are going to have to ameliorate her. Classical response. The guy walks in and says, I don't believe it. I asked you not to overcharge a credit card. I come to the bank. We have to pay overcharge fees. I can't believe you did that. You're right. You're right. I shouldn't have done that. Now what's he going to say?
My dad just keeps yelling.
And then, an hour later, he's vented all his anger and she's still hurt. What'd you have to yell at me for? And that's the way it's going to go. Whereas if he'd come home and wouldn't say anything, and she'd say, what's wrong? And he'd say, well, I feel very bad. And she'd say, why do you feel bad? He'd say, well, we sort of agreed that we wouldn't overcharge the credit card, and I see that we did. And it's a lot of money, and I feel bad that that's what we're spending our money on. Notice, there's another advantage in this way of having a conversation. When you're angry, it's personal. You're angry at her. When you're hurt or upset, you can focus it that you're hurt by the situation. It's far less personal. It's not you that hurt me. I feel bad that this is where we're going to spend our money. Now, we just discussed a few tactics. But the key to every single one of the tactics we discussed is control. Self-control. None of this is going to work unless you can control what you say and you have the foresight to think, wait a second, what makes sense, what doesn't, what's fair, what's not. And this is the point where we start working today. We're in the month of Elul, and all of us want to build good homes. So all of us have to stop and think about our own self-discipline, about our own self-control, and start working on it now with our roommates, with our parents, with our siblings. None of this is going to work unless we each gain our own self-control. It's not easy. It's a lifetime's worth of work. But you got to start somewhere, so you might as well start here. Yeah?
Isn't she just going to eventually hate you for acting like a woman? If you talk girl talk all the time, she's going to be like disappointed that she didn't marry a man.
So I'll tell you, I think that I've never heard of a person being upset that way. I'm young, I'm sure there might be instances out there, but I think that just like we'd appreciate it more if the conversation were not personal, if our spouse weren't angry at us, all the more so they appreciate it, and I think it's a more fair way of having the conversation. I think so. If you know otherwise, let me know. Yeah.
I kind of talked about this actually with different women and different experts over time about that. And what they said, like, when you're dealing with a communication issue, you're getting it to your wife's head, that's okay. I think the rest of the time they expect you to be a husband and father, but I think you know when that is, that's time of confidence, like Shabbos, and doing what you have to do and everything else. So I think, I think you're right. I think in the communication thing, when you keep it in the head of the other person, I don't think a woman would ever look down on that.
I've never heard of a woman being upset that her husband spoke gently to her.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Never heard that.
No, beating around the bush and the...
You don't have to beat around the bush. I didn't give it with the beating around the bush. I didn't say you should do it the way she does and say, oh, nothing's wrong. I said that when you come home and you look upset and she asks you what's wrong, instead of saying I'm upset at you, you could say, it hurts me that this is what's happening. You can be very straight. You could still do it in the male way of doing it. You don't have to beat around the bush. But instead of being upset at her, you are hurt by the situation.
It's all about the approach.
Okay, I'd like to conclude with an example that Chazal tell us, and we could learn a lot from that example. Chazal tell us, Ahava mekalkelet et hashura. Love changes the ordinary order of things. And Chazal tell us this about Avram. So, when we look at Avram, Avram is one of the wealthiest people around at the time. He's an old man. He's over 100 years old. He has a house filled with servants. And he has one son that's his, the apple of his eye. And God appears to him one night and tells him, tomorrow morning, I want you to take your son. God doesn't tell him tomorrow morning. God tells him, please take your son that you love, Isaac, and bring him up on a mountaintop that I will show you. What does Avram do? He wakes up early in the morning. Avram is king. He's head of the UN. He's king of the United Nations. Kings usually sleep to 3 hours into the day. He's up at the crack of dawn. Avram has many servants. He could ask any one of them to saddle his horse, his donkey. He saddles it himself. He has many servants. He could ask any one of them to carry the wood. Nope. He prepares everything. He takes his two lads. He takes Yitzchak. And they start traveling. What does it tell us that Avram does it himself? His love drives him to do. He wants to do it. He doesn't stop and think who else can do it. When we have immense love for someone, then we want to do it. We want to perform. We don't think of how can I get out of it. Quite the contrary. We think of how much can we give. We discussed earlier today in our Ein Yaakov class, we discussed Rabbi Akiva. We discussed that there's a concept of giving that goes way beyond what does the other side want. It's just the thought, I want to give. Avram teaches us what it means to love. It means getting up early. It means running out and doing it. How many times do you hear couples making deals? I'll do the dishes if you do the diapers. I'll put the kids to sleep if you'll clear the table. That shouldn't really exist. If it's just a question, well, such and such has to get done, let's see how we divide the task, that's one thing. But if it's deals, what are we saying in deals? We're saying, I'll do my part if you keep do your part. It's not the way it can work. The way it should work is, what do you want to do? I'll be happy, I'll do this, I'll do that. Let's work it out. And here I want to go back to what you mentioned earlier. You mentioned that there's baggage. And could be she did A, B, and C to him the other day, and right now he's just so fed up with what she did, he's going to let it all out on the vanilla ice cream. We have two options many times a day within marriage. We can be extra kind, or we can run what we feel is the letter of the law. 99% of the time, what we feel is the letter of the law is being vicious, as guys pointed out earlier. But let's even imagine that it were the letter of the law. If you want to be the man of the house, as guys here stressed earlier, then you should lead the house to a type of relationship that is extra kind. There were once two roommates that began living together in a room. So one was there earlier, she set up her stuff, and then the other girl came into the room. So when the second girl came into the room, the first girl told her, I want you to know, there's one thing that upsets me. If you start asking me, is this yours, is this yours, can I use this, I'll be upset. We're going to be in the room together. Everything that's mine, you are welcome to use. Don't ask me. We're here together, we're living together, and I want you to use everything you want. Don't ask. You're welcome to use everything. Many times in marriage, we have the ability to make that the direction of the marriage. Even if yesterday she got on my nerves 10 times, today I'll behave differently, she'll behave differently. When a husband tells his wife, honey, what can I do to help? Will it help you if I do the dishes now? Would you rather I do the diapers now? Believe me, she'll come back tenfold. Chazal taught us, the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Kamayim apanim lapanim. Just like when you look in the water, what you see is the reflection of yourself, that's the way relationships are between human beings. I don't know of any instance, and unfortunately, I know many couples what's going on in their lives, and I don't know of any instance that one side kept doing this, and the other side just kept taking advantage. I know of situations where a side felt like they were being taken advantage of, but usually, in normal situations, normal people, when one gives, the other one wants to give. When you enter a room and the roommate tells you, you're welcome to use everything I have, most people don't respond by saying, well, you don't touch my stuff. That's not the way most people respond. They might say, you know, you're welcome to use everything I have, but there's this and this that I'd rather you don't handle. It could be, but usually it's not the way it goes.
But in some relationships, there's givers and there's takers.
It's rare. You're right. Things happen, but it's not so common. Most relationships, it's more the other way you described. She did this yesterday, so there's no way I'm going to let her get away with bringing me vanilla ice cream today. Now let's think about it. What are we talking about? But marriage boils down to these three-year-old arguments.
It's cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to jump on this right now, maybe you're waiting, but what, you've got 4 kids, 5 kids, 6 kids. How do you keep that relationship as strong as it was when there was no children?
You cannot keep it as strong as it was when there were no children. It's going to be so much stronger. It's impossible to leave it back where it was when there were no kids. It's impossible.
How do you find time for each other?
It's a different world. Okay, it's a different world.
There's in a positive way?
In a positive way. Life only begins then.
Yeah.
It's a different world. People who think they found love when they get engaged, when they just get married, they don't know what love is. It doesn't work that way.
Like,
it only gets better.
It's got to be completely different because like the one-on-one...
It's different, right? It's different. It's different. It's a different world.
Yeah.
It's a different world. Bezrat Hashem, you'll get there. You'll see. If you're building... If you have the good fortune that you succeed in building, then it's a different world. You have you're investing together. You look at the children and you see what your wife is investing. She sees what you're investing. You see what you're both building. The appreciation, the feeling of partnership, is just so much stronger. It's a different world. That's what the pasuk says. Al ken yazov ish et aviv v'imo. A man leaves his parents, v'davak b'ishto, and he sticks to his wife, they become glued as one, v'ayul v'asar echad, and then they fuse into one flesh. What's one flesh? When they have a child. That one child is representation of both of them. It's a different world. You evolve there, and hopefully you merit to get there, but it's a totally different world. If with 5 kids you're still trying to have the relationship you had when you were just married, you're missing something. It's a different world. You're right. You don't have the time to go on dates. If you get to go on dates, like one woman once said, I go on dates with my husband once a week because it's much cheaper than therapy. That's a good attitude. So I'm all for it. If you can find a way to do it, do it. It's a good thing. But you have less time. That's true. You have to invest more. But it's a mutual investment. And you have to think how to find time for one another as well. But it's a different world. Okay.